Welcome to the Voices of the University podcast series, marking the 50th anniversary of the University of Warwick. Commissioned by the Institute of Advanced Study, the Voices of the University collection comprises of over 200 interviews with current and former staff, students and local residents, and reveals the history of the University of Warwick through their voices. In the sixth episode of our series, IAS Research Fellow Grace Huxford introduces extracts from the collection on VIPs visiting Warwick since 1965.
During its 50-year history, Warwick has welcomed many important guests to its campus. Guests have included royalty, politicians, leading cultural figures, and sporting heroes. Frances Cook, a postgraduate student in the physics department, remembers a very special guest visiting her lab in 1970.
The Queen came to visit when I was here. She was in Coventry to open the hospital. What's now the Coventry Walsgrave Hospital. So because she was in Coventry to open the hospital, they invited her to come here as well, and it was the holidays, so there were no students about, and they wanted her to come around the physics department and no doubt lots of other departments that were all sparkling new, you know. Labs were lovely. So we set up the labs with all the experiments that the students would have done, and each of us graduate students stood next to one, ready to explain it to her, should she want to know. So she came round and she said to me, and not just to me, she said the same thing to other people. She said, "Oh, what are you doing in your holidays?" Which was awful, awfully sort of hopeless, because I had to say to her something like, "Oh, well, I'm a graduate student. I don't really have holidays. In fact, I'm getting some work done in the holidays," or something really boring. She asked us nothing about the equipment. This was her standard question. But I did feel sorry for her, though, because what could she understand if we had told her? But I did speak to the Queen when she came out.
Such visits to the university have required detailed planning and hard work from university staff. Janet Keane, an administrator at the university since 1990, describes one particular visit where staff had to help in an unexpected way.
I remember being wheeled out. We were at Senate House and we were all told to go and stand on the front steps because Princess Anne was coming. And she had, you know, we had motorbike outriders. It was the Princess Anne visit, and I mentioned the motorbike outriders, and they were obviously policemen, but they were in their leather motorcycle gear, and one of them split his trousers. And we took him inside and sewed his trousers back together for him. So we had a policeman in one of the offices in Senate House with no trousers on, sewing his trousers back together so he could go back and join and not be showing his rear end to the princess as he drove him. As he was on his motorcycle, so that was quite funny.
The university has also hosted several important political visitors. On the 14th of December 2000, President Bill Clinton made his final foreign speech as US President in the Butterworth Hall at Warwick. A great deal of planning went into this event, which was also attended by Prime Minister Tony Blair, senior Labour politicians and leading UK academics. Sir Brian Follett, Vice-Chancellor in 2000, describes the President's visit.
The Warwick Arts Centre was deemed to be United States territory for that period. It was the White House. There was a White House set up in the Arts Centre with the backdrop just as you have in Washington. And behind some of those doors in the Arts Centre, if only people had known, were all these Americans all dressed up with gear waiting with machine guns to leap out. And we'd worked out how we should roughly do it. You know, we should have so many students and we should also invite quite a number of members of staff because, you know, to them it was an even greater day. And it was a fantastic day, rain like hell.
John Leafield, chairman of the University Council, describes the logistical organisation involved in the President's visit and the illustrious guests who were also in attendance that day.
I was chairman of the council at that stage, so I was very conscious of all the arrangements being made and the last minute change of the concrete footpath from the helicopter that was changed in the early hours of the morning because his security people didn't like it, and the bringing of the medical people to make sure that if one of us shot Clinton, he'd have jolly good medical attention just behind us, just within a few yards. And I was sitting in the string of VIPs, and immediately to my right was Jermaine Greer, and to my left was Stephen Hawking. And I'll never forget that. And then Clinton coming forward with a scrappy bit of paper with some jottings and giving a magnificent summing up of the world's issues, and having that great ability to go off into a topic of, in parenthesis, and then come straight back into his main line of argument. A very, very powerful speech.
President Clinton's speech on that day was also globally and historically significant. Not only did he use his final foreign speech to call for more concerted action on climate change, but his speech at Warwick was made on the day that George W. Bush was confirmed as his successor. Sir Brian Follett again.
All this took place on the day that the 2000 presidential election was settled and all the scandal of the shads in Florida. And in fact, Mr. Blair rang Mr. Bush from my office.
In the next Voices of the University podcast, we shall hear more about research at Warwick. For further details or to hear the interviews in full, please consult the Voices of the University website.